Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lindsey Rhodes, NFL Roadshow Podcast. Lindsey, how are you? Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us, Lindsey. In this town, everybody, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, everybody's so excited about the Browns. Even as
every NFL town, right? All year
round. That's true. Yeah.
This year, you guys, for sure. The Browns.
No doubt. I mean, I don't know. In Houston, are they that excited about football right now?
No. That's a good point. No. Let's just fast forward a year or two.
That's right. Houston. Exactly. We'll see what happens. But specifically about the Browns, you know, we're always fascinated when national reporters, people that cover the NFL, whatever, sometimes you think, well, we're too inside. You know, the Browns have been so bad for so long. Have we gotten carried away on how good the Browns are? I don't know. What do you think? How good are the Browns, in your opinion?
Oh, I don't think there's any way to get carried away with the squad that you guys have right now. I think there's so much to be excited about. And it's so, the draft is the perfect example for me of, man, how far have we come? Because the Browns were the example for me of a team that was drafting from a position of strength. And it's exactly the position you want to be in going into a draft, where, there just weren't holes. And it was so obvious the way that they were drafting that they were in a position to just take the players that were falling for reasons that none of the rest of us could really figure out, like JOK. You're sure, we'll take him, because you guys didn't need any specific thing. So your draft ended up being, I'm talking to you like you're like the GM here.
I am.
Draft ended up being one of the best drafts, which it's obvious to, easy to figure out why that is, because you're just not drafting from behind any kind of eight ball, which is, it's amazing. I just kept laughing that every time I would have that thought, it was the Browns that were drafting. That's a great pick, and how far they've come in such a short period of time.
Lindsey, you think it's a big deal that the offense is not here participating in OTAs? We've kind of talked about this to death the last couple of days with J.C. Treader, our center, who's the head of the NFLPA, and his stance with the players that they don't want to have the offseason workouts, and Baker Mayfield's not here. Most of the offense is not here either. The defense has pretty much showed up almost 100% participation, I should say. Is it a big deal to you that Baker and the offense is not here with the coaches?
No, because they're elsewhere, right? So, the fact that you have people getting together with Baker and they're doing the Mayfield passing camp or whatever they're calling it down there in Austin, the fact that they're getting in some reps. The thing about OTAs that I think, I guess my issue with where the Players Association was coming from was, when you call for a full boycott, that puts younger players who actually really need this time in the facility in front of their coaches' faces, and getting on the field and having a chance to implement some of the things they're being taught. They need those reps. This is when they need to get better. And so if you're in a position like a Baker Mayfield or some of the other players on the team, a Jarvis Landry, you have a lot of returners. So you're not a team that has a new coach and a new offensive system and a bunch of new parts, right? You have a lot of returning parts. So there is familiarity that's already there. You need to establish some sort of, you need to get on a field, you need to get some sort of reps, but the fact that they're doing it in the way that they think is best for them and not under some structured system that is traditionally the way that we've done things, I don't think that that's problematic. I think where this boycott, quote unquote, could have become problematic if it was just an across the board, nobody showed up for any on-field workouts, was it really could have hurt younger players. And then those players that are like the second tier players, those players that are fighting for spots, it puts them in a tough position where they feel like they don't want to go against what their teammates are saying, like, hey, we all need to stick together and do this together and don't cross the picket line, so to speak. But there are a lot of players in this league that are only going to be on, you know, one contract or are fighting for a second contract. It's not a given, and they need to continue to earn their job day in and day out. And to do that, they need to be in front of their coaches' faces so that the coach knows what they're putting in and they know what they bring to the table and they know the ways that they're getting better. So, long answer, I think it's valuable for the players that are there to be there. And the players who don't feel like they have to be there, I think especially in the Cleveland Browns case, it's probably true that they don't need to be there. And they'll probably be fine when they show up to training camp. And we did see some evidence last year that the players, some teams, you know, that more than others, were fine without getting these on-field reps. And I think that the Cleveland Browns will be one of those teams.
We're talking with Lindsay Rhodes, the NFL Roadshow podcast. Lindsay, we were talking earlier in the show with Lindsay Jones of The Athletic, who is the Pro Football
Writers
Association.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is awesome. And we were talking to her about the fact that, and I'm really bothered, even though we're sports talk hosts and we're not beat reporters and we're not reporters going into the locker room, I'm annoyed for the reporters that they can't get into the locker room. I understand last year nobody took COVID more seriously than I did. Anybody listening to this show knows that. But now I feel like the league is kind of using it as an excuse at this point. I think vaccinated reporters should be allowed in locker rooms, and I think it's important to the freedom of the press and having the access to the players. And I think it's good for the players too, because they can develop the relationships and know who they can trust. What do you think about that?
Well, I assume it kind of feels like we're slowly getting out of COVID protocols, right? Like capacity, people are a little bit, they're either really fast to change but like some of the organized ways in which protocols have been placed, people are kind of slow to get past them because it feels like we're ticking one thing off at a time. And so the fact that they're able to be out there on the field, and in some cases, you know, like Major League Baseball, we saw a lot of people in the last couple of days that are like, man, it's good to be back down on the field, right? It's like one step at a time. I think that they will probably open that up fairly soonish, and that they're just sort of ticking things off one at a time so they don't just go full bore, like rip all of the protocols down.
Sure.
But there's definitely value as a reporter to being in front of somebody, having a conversation that is, and I think most fans don't, you know, they get like, I don't care how you do your job, and the media is in this separate category, kind of forgetting the fact that the media doing their job is how they get information about the team that they love. So as a conduit for the fan, it is important for journalists to be able to get in that locker room and be able to talk to people face-to-face. When you're having conversations face-to-face, a lot of things kind of, it's a more private conversation sometimes. You can kind of pull somebody aside and get a feel for what's really going on. So you're not just guessing from the outside. It's easier to do a better job of saying this is what's actually happening inside this locker room, because people will tell you either on or off the record or on background or whatever. You just feel like you have your finger on the pulse a little bit better. And that's always good for the fans, you know, so that they have a full idea of what is actually happening. So, but I also think that the NFL understands that. And I also think that the partners, that have a pretty heavy investment in this will start pushing for that. And then that will sort of force things to open up. Once like the TV partners get into the mix, once it's fall, well, they're going to push for face-to-face meetings, right? And they're paying an awful lot of money to the NFL to broadcast the NFL. And so they're going to get those face-to-face meetings. And as soon as they get face-to-face meetings, then the beat reporters need to get face-to-face meetings. So it'll all kind of start to be a trickle down. But obviously we all know that corporations who scale things back are obviously sometimes not so willing to put things back in, right? Just in terms of like budget cutbacks, people do that. Like, hey, you're going to do 8 jobs and it's because of budget cutbacks. Now we have extra money again, but now that we know you can do 8 jobs, that's what you're just going to keep doing.
That's
so
right.
They'll stick with this as long as they can, but my guess is it'll go away by the fall.
Lindsay, Julio to Tennessee, does it make him a contender now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, they were pretty good last year, right, without him. So you add Julio on the opposite side of A.J. Brown. I mean, how do you defend that with Derrick Henry behind center, too? So I think that the offense is going to be very, very good, you know, a little bit better than they were. That's assuming that Julio can stay healthy and that he doesn't miss too many games, because that's what we've seen, obviously, in the last couple of years. My question for them is whether their defense is going to be that much better and how right. much better the offense needs to be with Julio in order to make up for the fact that the defense really isn't that strong. Now, they made some changes in the offseason, so we'll see how much better those changes make their defense. But I would like to see them on the field playing stronger defense before I feel comfortable putting them in like a Super Bowl category. But I definitely think that they are a playoff caliber team. And I think it'll just take a couple of games to really get a good feel for how much better Julio makes the team as a whole.
By the way, Lindsay, I was looking back through your timeline on Twitter, and I saw a tweet from last month where you tweeted about the Dynasty rookie draft that you were in, and you took Najee Harris second. And I think you made the right call. I was surprised Kyle Pitts, as much as everybody loves him, I was surprised still that he would go before Najee Harris and Ja'Marr Chase in a dynasty league.
I
know that, you know, if you have that great tight end, it gives you such an advantage. But even as talented as he is, tight ends are such crapshoots coming out of the draft. Makes me nervous.
Oh, totally. I know, but I think also, there was some recency bias, right? We were coming right off of the draft. In the entire draft season, everyone was talking about how Kyle Pitts was this unicorn of a tight end.
Right.
And so much so that, like, the tight end label was really a little bit limiting. And he wasn't really just a tight end. He's a playmaker. And you can use him in all these different ways. And, boy, we're going to find out in Atlanta this year, now that there's no Julio. They better hope that he's all of those things. But, yeah, tight ends usually do take, you know, they could be like hit or miss for a year or two. I am anticipating that Kyle Pitts, just because all of these evaluators were kind of on the same page, that he is a very special tight end. I'm anticipating we'll see that, and that the fantasy return will be strong. I don't think it's a really stupid pick because there's such a drop off at tight end. Right? Like, we all know that there's like four tight ends you could count on last year.
Right.
Maybe not even four, maybe three. And so other than that, it's like you could practically stream tight ends from week to week because it was just so all over the place. So if you could go grab one of those, especially at the front end of their career, and know that you're getting like the next Travis Kelce and just plug him into your lineup, especially if you're a roster that felt comfortable in a dynasty league with your running back, I could see the argument for that. It certainly put me in a position of power grabbing Najee second, though, because I've had like eight trade offers. Everyone wants to trade me for Najee. And then I'm just having a hard time pulling the trigger and knowing what's worth, you know, giving him up for, because I have a young running back. But the That's running back could be a bust, too. You know, I don't.
You never know.
They all
you
are.
You never know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not in a dynasty league, but in a keeper league, and I have, you know, DeAndre Swift and Cam Akers. Although, if the freaking Lions sign Todd Gurley, I'm going to lose my mind. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know. It's so them, though, right? Like, all of your last year, we're like, please stop giving the ball to Adrian Peterson. I mean, all of us in fantasy, anyway. I don't, you know, real football,
please.
Maybe, whatever.
Yes.
It was working. But, like, just give it to him and let him turn into the guy that we all want to see. Him being, and then they finally figured that out. It felt like about halfway through the season, and if they bring in Todd Gurley, I don't know what I'll do.
Lindsay, before I want to get to your podcast in a second, but real quick, if you ever watched Walking Dead or any of the Walking Dead world ever?
Yes.
Okay.
I was out once. No spoilers for anyone who hasn't. I was out once. What happened to Glenn? Like, it just. Not because of what happened to Glenn.
Because of Negan. Yeah. Well, that's it's
just
so funny.
Felt like, oh, we're doing this again. You know,
right.
Like, it just felt like they were cycling this same, like, we meet bad people all the time.
Yes. What's so funny about that is I just started watching Walking Dead like 6 months ago. And I was looking for something during the pandemic, and I was like, I need so and I started watching it. And everybody tells me that's when they left the show, although I think it got better again in seasons 9 and 10. But the question for you is, if we were living in the Walking Dead world, would you be, what state would you be best living in? What state would you want to be in the U.S. if we were in the Walking Dead world?
Oh, my gosh. Gosh, that's a good question. Some place with space. So I live in Los Angeles, so I'm sort of unfamiliar with where that space might be, but definitely not here. Not a highly densely populated space, right? Because then there are fewer zombies walking around.
That's
because there are fewer people, and there's probably more land in between where you're going to find those pockets of zombies. So you have space to spread out. I can't tell you, having watched a few seasons of The Walking Dead, how frequently I think about how screwed I would be if there was an apocalyptic situation. Like, find myself thinking. And I even went out a couple of years ago and bought one of those, like, survival backpacks. Like, that stuffed with all the... Like, I became, like, a prepper for, like, a week. Like, I was reading some stuff about North Korea or whatever when we were going back and forth with that, and I was like, it's going to happen. I got to get a backpack. Like, the backpack's going to save me. I've, like, scouted out rooms in my house. Like, if there was some sort of nuclear, would I go to the closet in the middle of the house that doesn't have any outside windows or, like, vents? Like, I'm going to live there for 4 weeks until the fallout settles. I don't know. But, yeah, Walking Dead really messes with your brain. So
that's
one way of saying I have no idea the answer to your question, except other than to say it is not where I am.
No, Montana maybe, the Dakotas, maybe that's the place to go. I love that you've thought this through. Also, you say you'd be in bad shape. I'd really be screwed because I'm fat, and there's no fat guys on The Walking Dead. All the fat guys got killed. They all died early because we can't run fast. I can't run fast. I can't get away.
They just get thinner.
Yeah.
Because
Okay, maybe.
Dude, they're
true. Be good for my diet.
How exhausting. Yeah. At a certain point, you just be like, I don't know, just eat me.
That's
like, I'm tired. I can't do this anymore.
Lindsay, tell us about the podcast, the NFL Roadshow. What's going on there? What do you got? Who's the latest guest?
Who is the latest guest? Ian Rappaport is the latest guest. Last week, it's a little bit slow, you know, from an NFL standpoint. As you guys know, there is no NFL offseason except for, like, now-ish, you know? Like, I mean, I know there's OTAs and minicamps. Once the minicamps are done, then there's, like, a few-week window before training camps open up, and that's the only offseason. And there's not a ton of stuff coming out of OTAs. Anyway, so I decided to have Ian Rappaport on. We just kind of sat down and talked about what it was that he does for a living and how he does it.
Cool.
And I kind of like that. That's one of the things I like about having a podcast is you can go in whatever direction you want to go in. And hopefully the audience is interested in following. It's an opportunity for me to have conversations that I'm interested in having, whether that's content driven, flushing out some interesting thoughts that various people are bringing up about, you know, positional value or the value of draft picks or things like that. You can really go down these rabbit holes that my goal is always to become a smarter football fan myself. And so that's the goal of my podcast. And sometimes, like this last week with Ian, it was just becoming a smarter consumer. Like I think it's interesting that he does this job that is a round the clock 24/7, 365 type of job where there really is no time off and you have to sleep with your phone by your bed and is literally the one job in NFL media that I would never want to do. Because it just sounds exhausting. And so we talked about how it is that he goes about doing that and finding kind of a healthy balance in his life while doing that incredibly unhealthy type of job. So so it's a little bit all over the map in that sense. But I'm having a really fun time doing it. Because like I said, it gives me an outlet to just kind of reach out to people and have these, I think, interesting conversations with them about football that I wouldn't otherwise have a chance to have with them.
Everybody check it out, the NFL Roadshow podcast with Lindsay Rhodes. We appreciate the time, Lindsay. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.